soul to tears.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. And we pray that you are having a great day. Today is the day that we shift our focus a little bit, and we are going to start talking about spiritual truth, not just in the seeking aspect of it, but things that the Bible and God specifically have to say that are truth. And so here's my premise. If God says something, it's true, period. If man says something, that's only credible if God gives testimony to it. And so we are going to be looking at spiritual truth. And we're going to start off in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, to be specific. And this is where the children of Israel send spies into the land to find out whether it is good or whether it is not good. So while you're turning to Numbers 13, let me take one more opportunity. I get a couple of more shots to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God this Sunday, 10:30 of a morning, where I will be preaching a message titled "The Perfect Stranger." The Perfect Stranger. And hopefully we will share some things that will challenge and will help people to make decisions to get to know Jesus better than they've ever known him before. And so it's our privilege to introduce him, we're looking forward to that, and hopefully you'll come out and join us Sunday morning, 10:30 of a morning, and that would be absolutely awesome. So, Numbers 13, the spies are getting ready to go into the land. Verse number 17 says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the Lord, or see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests and or whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob and near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishai, Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol, which means cluster, because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. At Kadesh, they brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Now, so the passage that we are eventually going to get to is in chapter 14. We may not get there today, but I've got to set the stage appropriately so you understand how we got to that point. God had brought the children of Israel out of the most powerful nation on earth at the time, and he delivered them basically in a single night. Pharaoh was not going to let them go, and one day later, they were ushering the people out, saying, "Get out, hurry, get out, because if you don't get out, we're all going to die." Pharaoh had a change of heart. The Egyptian army and all of their chariots were drowned in the Red Sea that the children of Israel had just crossed over in dry ground. So there had been miraculous provision. There had been the provision of manna. There had been provision of water. There was provision of sustained lifespans of clothing and things like that. There's a lot of good things that are going on for the children of Israel. Continued provision by day and by night, miraculous provision of God. They come to the border, and there had already been a great deal of complaining, of murmuring, of rebellion against God, longing to go back to Egypt, all sorts of stuff. Now they come to the brink of the promised land, which God had instructed them to go in and take possession of. Moses decides to send in some spies into the land, and he gives them very specific missional purpose. They are to go in, first of all, to see what the land is like. Okay? They are supposed to determine whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak. They are supposed to determine whether there are many or whether there are just a few. Whether the land in it is good or bad. Whether the cities that people live in are they like camps, or are they strongholds? They were supposed to determine, is the land rich or poor, and whether or not there are forests there. Okay? So those are their missional assignments, and they get one more bonus, and that is bring some of the fruit of the land. So let me recap those for you. See what the land is like. The people, whether they're strong or weak, whether there are a lot of them or not very many. Is the land good land or bad land? Are the cities like camps or are they strongholds? Is the land rich or poor? Are there forests there? And by the way, bring back some of the produce of the land. So they go in and they spy out the land. They went there and they came and they brought back one cluster of grapes that it took two people to carry it. They put the cluster of grapes on a pole. So the very last thing that they were assigned to do, bring back some of the fruit of the land, is one of the first things that they brought back. And the fruit was so bountiful that it took two people to carry one cluster of grapes. Okay, so it's looking like it's a pretty fruitful land. God had promised them that it would be a land flowing with milk and honey. So then they start giving their report. We went to the land, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So it's good. It's good land. That was part of their missional assignment. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. When God tells you the condition of the place that he's going to take you, he's going to make it a reality. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I came with a word from God, you know, that what was going to take place. And I clung to that word. I hung on to it for dear life. And everything that word promised, it hadn't happened in a number of years. And so God told me, I was praying, I said, God, we're not seeing the things that you promised. And we had to take some pretty substantial stands. There was a people said, oh, now that's the church that can't hold any people. And I said, well, I'm not trying to hold people. I'm trying to hold on to God. God will hold the people. And there were people that said, well, there's no money there. And I said, that's okay. God's got enough that he's going to take care of the church. He's blessed the church tremendously during the time that we have been there. We're very thankful. We had to, another person said, oh yeah, that church is cursed. And I said, no, the church is blessed. The church is blessed. And so we clung to the promises that God had given to us and disarmed all of the other accusations that people had that were contrary to what God said. And so after a few years of not seeing a land flowing with milk and honey, if you will, I went and I prayed, and God said, well, you need to go back and read that promise one more time. And I said, God, I can quote the verse. He said, go back and read it. By the way, you will never win an argument with God. Just flat out. Save your time. God knows the word better than you know the word. I don't care if you have it memorized. God knows it better than you do. And so I went back, and you know, every time that God has spoken something to me, that there was more there than what I had acknowledged, every time he has said that, he has been absolutely 100% correct. And in that place, it said, after you have suffered a little while. And I was like, how in the world did I never pick up on that? Well, I was fixated on the good stuff. I wasn't focusing on the after you have suffered a little while. I was, God himself will come and pick you up and place you where he wants you and cause you to be established and prosper. That was what I had kind of blocked out the after you have suffered a little while. So God had done great things for the children of Israel, and he says, I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. But I don't know that they were expecting some of the challenges that the spies perceived when they got there. Let me tell you what they said. They said, the land truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, people live there. Okay? That was one of the things they were supposed to go and find out. Are there people living there? Are they strong or weak? Are there a bunch of them, or are there a few of them? And it said, there are people who dwell in the land, and they are strong. Okay, so now we know we're going to face a strong opposition. The cities are fortified. Okay, that's part of the mission. Are they camps or strongholds? They're strongholds. They're very large, okay? We got that. We saw the descendants of Anak there. So they're the giants of the land. They dwell there. They dwell from the sea. They dwell in the mountains. They dwell along the banks of the Jordan River. They dwell in the north. They dwell in the south. It is a land that is fully occupied. They report all of that. And Caleb says, we are able to let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. I remember one of the songs that the music group, the Imperials, did years ago, and that was, he didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. And for the children of Israel, they were there, and they had heard the report. The land is there. It flows with milk and honey. We've got strong people there. We've got people of all sorts of different backgrounds that are living there. The cities are fortified. None of that was supposed to be considered as to whether or not they were going to undertake the assignment to go into the land that God had promised them or not. Caleb says, I'm ready. Let's go. And 10 of the spies said, oh, we can't do it. No, we are not able, for they're stronger than we are. They're stronger than we are. Let me ask you this. Are they stronger than God? Doubt it. Doubt it. I have a saying, and that is this. If I don't see Jesus panicking, then I don't have to panic. If I fix my eyes on Jesus and he's got things well under control, then I can rest in his sovereignty because I'm part of his kingdom. The kingdoms of men are established at the expense of many of the people who live underneath the people making the political decisions. Not so the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is for the benefit of those people living under the dominion of Jesus Christ the King. They're stronger than we are. My response is, but they're not stronger than God. He is the omnipotent God. Then I want to show you faulty logic. Okay? Fear will cause you to believe things that are not true and not to believe things that are true. God said he's going to bring us into a land flowing with milk and honey. He's going to bring us into the land flowing with milk and honey. He told Abram that he was going to bring us back into the promised land, and he's going to bring us back into the promised land. Joseph prophesied that he was going to bring us out of Egypt, and he did bring us out of Egypt. And so we've got to realize that if he knew about that stuff hundreds of years ago, he still knows about everything that is going on right now. Okay. Here's where the paradox or the breakdown of logic occurs in the spies that brought back a bad report. The land which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Okay? So let me deal with that. This land devours its inhabitants. Let me take you back to what they said. The Amalekites dwell there. The Hittites dwell there. The Jebusites dwell there. The Amorites dwell there. And the Canaanites dwell there. This is not a land that is devouring its inhabitants. It is a land that is enabling a diverse group of people in many different geographic, locations, benefits. You know, there's mountainous areas, there's coastal areas, there's river areas, there's people in the south, people in the mountains, all sorts of different climates that are being dwelt in. It's not a land that's consuming them. It's a land that is empowering them. The next thing that we see, it says, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Now, I want to tell you that not everybody that they saw there was people of great stature. They did see some people that were the descendants of Anak that were much taller than the rest of the community. They were described as giants. They saw some of those people there, but that doesn't mean that all of them were that way. You know, and the thing about giants is the bigger they are, the harder they fall. When David was just a boy and he went to the battlefield, there was a giant that came out by the name of Goliath, and he stood there and taunted the armies of Israel. And David said, I'll go take care of the giant. If that's what it's going to take to defeat this army, let me go out. I'll take care of him all by myself. David was not terrorized the same way that the rest of the people were. And he said, it's just going to take a different type of strategy than what has been previously implemented in the battlefield. And so he goes down and he grabs some smooth stones out of a brook, and he grabs his sling and he says, yeah, this ought to do it. But if it's a land that devours its inhabitants, you are not going to find people of great stature. You are not going to find mighty people there. You're not going to find fortified cities there. You do not fortify a city in order to protect a city that has no value to it. Okay? You fortify cities because it has resources that you want to hang on to. And it says, it goes on here in verse number 33 as the spies are giving the report of the land. And it says, we saw the giants there. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now, I will tell you that self-perception can be a very delusional thing. It can be a damaging thing, but it can also be an empowering thing. When you know that you're a child of the living God, it can help you to do great and mighty things. But whenever you see yourself as insignificant, whenever you see yourself as smaller than a bug, you have diminished your value, and you discourage the people who are listening to you. These people were chosen because they were some of the leaders of their tribes. And the people come back and said, man, when we got in there, we looked around at one another and we were like grasshoppers. And then they said this, and we looked the exact same way in their sight. Okay? So if it's true, then it ought to be able to be verified, right? If it's true, then we ought to be able to find some sort of record of what was going on. And so I want to take you over to the book of Joshua, and let's see if what those spies came back really, what they said was really true. And so over in Joshua let me see if I can find the chapter here. Let me see. Well, if I don't find it, I will just tell you what it says. I'm looking for Rahab. Here it is. It's in Joshua chapter 2, verse number 1, I guess. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to your house, who have entered your house, or come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly. You may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the roads to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gates. Let me drop down to where, to verse number 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, okay, so this is what the testimony of the people inside the promised land, the land flowing of milk and honey, the land where giants were, the land that the spies said, hey, it devours the land, and we looked like grasshoppers to them. This is what they were saying. I know that the Lord has given you this land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. That was the previous generation, 40 years earlier, for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you this kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. Okay, let me tell you in modern terms what Rahab told the spies. Where have you been for the last 40 years? For 40 years, we have been living in fear, knowing what God had promised you, knowing what God had done for you, and knowing that he was going to come, he was going to give this land to you. Where have you been? Well, we thought we were grasshoppers. Our parents thought they were grasshoppers. And we were sure that you saw us the same way. You know what the enemy sees in you? The potential of God doing great and mighty miracles in your life. Truly believe what the Lord has said about you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh.